Ramsey TV.
I can't help it. Who's in the body of Christ and who's not? I'm just calling balls and strikes here. It's up to God. It's like an umpire reffing a game where Joe DiMaggio's up at bat and he gets struck out. Joe DiMaggio gets struck out. And people complain to the umpire, "What are you doing? This is one of the greatest hitters of all time. Jolton Joe. How can he strike out?" And the umpire says, "Hey, can I help it? He didn't swing at a perfect pitch. Can I help it?" I'm just calling balls and strikes here. And Paul allows us to call balls and strikes by being very plain, very straightforward about the elements of his gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. This is Martin Zender. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. The Star of Bethlehem is still following me around, but it's just light, so you can't see it. It's still up there. I got great news concerning L. Ray Smith. No, he has not raised from the dead. I wish he would. I wish he would. But he will at the snatching away. And the cool thing is that Ray Smith did not even believe in the snatching away. I went back. I hadn't been to his website in a long time. As I told you Friday, if you didn't hear it, watch it. He was a friend of mine. I knew him personally. I taught with him. He sent me M&Ms by the box load. I edited his big articles for him. Great guy. But he wrote this long article about why the snatching away is not true. He wrote this entire article why there's only one gospel, not two. So he writes articles which in his mind disprove the snatching away, which I read the article, they don't. I'm sorry. He wrote huge articles disproving that the Apostle Paul had his distinct gospel. That's not true. But calling balls and strikes here, I didn't give Ray enough credit on Friday because he writes gorgeously about death being death and that Jesus Christ actually died. Ooh, what is that? Does that sound familiar? That's an element of Paul's gospel. He also, there's no more powerful voice out there than L. Ray Smith teaching that free will is false. Ooh, what does that sound like? Christ Jesus died for our sins. We don't freely choose Christ in order to be loosed from our sins. So, L. Ray Smith, unwittingly, I will even say, unwittingly, even though he treats these false teachings as isolated incidents, he doesn't see why these false teachings came into humanity. That is, the false teaching of eternal torment, the false teaching of free will, the false teaching of the Trinity. He treats them as individual problems not related to a greater strategy, which is Satan's strategy to drive people away from belief in the body of Christ. Ray didn't see that, but nevertheless, he believed the elements of Paul's gospel, even though he didn't know there was such a thing as Paul's gospel. Therefore, listen to this. The guy's in the body of Christ. But who are you, Martin Zender, to sit in your car in an alley in Fort Lauderdale making judgments about whether people are believers or unbelievers? Who are you? Are you God? You think your car's a great white throne? Well, it is white. No, I'm calling balls and strikes. We're supposed to know who believers and unbelievers are, or else you wouldn't be able to do several things Paul says to do. He says, don't go to court with other believers. How do you know who other believers are unless they believe? Don't become diversely yoked with unbelievers. How do you know it's an unbeliever unless you know what a believer is? That's very simple. Do they believe in the death of Christ, the actual death of Christ for sin? That is, do they believe that Christ took away sin apart from human cooperation? There you go. Ray Smith did. He's in the body of Christ. Now, I said something on Friday about Gary Amaral. I said that he didn't know what the gospel of Paul was. And somebody wrote me and said, "Well, I heard Gary talking about the gospel of Paul." So I looked at some of Gary's stuff. And yes, but here's the trick. Yes, he does talk about the gospel of Paul. But he also believes there's no distinction that, like, Paul Paul's gospel almost like took everything that the circumcision had, took everything that Jesus said on earth, adopted it, brought it into a new message of grace, and called it the gospel of Paul. But it incorporates other elements of what you and I would call the gospel of the circumcision. But Gary Amrell, again, he's dead too, damn it. He totally bought into the 70 AD thing. Totally bought into it. That was the end of Israel forever. He and I argued about this on the phone all the time. And he totally bought into this, the church is spiritual Israel. The body of Christ, if that's what he calls it, I don't know. It's spiritual Israel. So he's not throwing out Old Testament scriptures then, is he? He's just adapting them, bringing them into what he calls the body of Christ, but mixing them with the gospel of grace. And he calls it Paul's gospel, but it's not. He may call it Paul's gospel, and someone may see that and say, well, see, he believes that Paul has a separate gospel. No, he believes that there's only one gospel, and that Paul just absorbed all the Old Testament stuff, and it's still one big mix to be not distinguished, to not be distinguished from other scriptures. That is not recognizing Paul's gospel. What are you recognizing it separate from? What distinguishes it? Nothing, really. But I'm saying it's distinguished from Peter's gospel. Peter and Paul. Also the creators of Almond Joy. You didn't know that, did you? In their spare time, they made candy bars in their kitchen. So that's that. No, I'm not God, contrary to some popular opinion. Sorry to implode, blow up your fantasies. I know this is not the Great White Throne, but I'm calling balls and strikes. Now, I told you I was going to talk about Jerry Boschman. You pronounce it Jerry. It's G-E-R-R-Y, and you would think it would be Gary, but it's Jerry. Sweet guy. Like I said, I think he wrote probably one of the most, if not the most influential book in our era of the salvation of all, a book called Hope Beyond Hell. I met him for the first time in Sacramento, California. I think it was 2012. We were both there to speak at a conference. I had never met him before. We both stayed at the home of a woman named Anita. I stayed there. I don't know who else did. Sheridan was speaking at that conference. Clyde was speaking at that conference, but I think they stayed elsewhere. But Jerry Boschman and I both stayed at Anita Butler's house. Oh, that's her name, Anita Butler. Great friend of mine, great believer, showed hospitality to the saints like you would not believe. Thank you, Anita, for showing hospitality to us. God remembers your works and your acts. So there I was with this author who I respected, and we were sitting at the breakfast table talking for the first time, and it was a great meeting. I got to know him personally. I heard a little bit about his story. I'm always asking people how they got to where they are. I love to hear other people talk because I get tired of hearing myself talk. So Jerry is he's a powerful speaker. And I found that out at the conference. I've never heard him speak. And I'm telling you, he was great. And you know, I always do this Woody Allen voice when I'm imitating somebody complaining about my teaching. Martin, how can you say that you believe? How can you think that you'll cause the Great White Throne? The Great White Throne doesn't have upholstered seats. Don't you know that? That's Jerry Boschman, basically. It's almost Woody Allen, but Jerry Boschman talks a lot like Woody Allen. It's funny. I loved his talks because he was so... he was funny and he was animated, and it was almost like a stand-up comedy routine. It was just very good speaker, and he sounded like Woody Allen, and he kind of looked like Woody Allen, and he had gestures like Woody Allen. What do you think about these people that believe in hell? It's just really great guy. So it was a 2-day conference. And maybe it was a 3-day. Maybe it was Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Anyway, it came to be Sunday morning. And Jerry and I are in a car together. And, I got to tell you this. On Saturday, I gave my classic epic talk about what is a believer. Why not? I herald the truth. I herald it. So I brought up, of course, that the Trinity is a false teaching. And anyone who believes in the Trinity can't be in the body of Christ because they don't believe Christ died. And that's an important aspect, in fact, the foundational aspect, along with the resurrection of Christ. You can't resurrect somebody who isn't dead. It's an important aspect of Paul's gospel. And if you don't believe these things, then you're believing the lies of Satan. And the lies of Satan are in the world for a reason, to keep people from believing in Paul's gospel. Very simple, balls and strikes. I don't care who's at the plate. I don't care if Joe DiMaggio's at the plate. I don't care. I don't care if Babe Ruth is at the plate. If he doesn't swing at a perfect pitch, then it's a strike. I'm sorry, it's a strike. And three strikes and you're out. Sorry, George Herman Ruth. I'm sorry. What can I do? I'm sorry. Oh, along that line, you remember I was telling you about, I'll get back to Jerry Boschman and this memorable day when he and I were in the car together and what happened that Sunday morning. And I don't know, he might not like me saying this, but it happened publicly. This is why I'm sharing it, right? It happened publicly, even though the videotape was destroyed. And there was a reason why what happened that Sunday morning, the videotape was destroyed. It was probably destroyed at Jerry's request. I'm not sure. I wish it was still around. It would be great, but it's not. Maybe it wouldn't be so great, but it's instructive. So I told you about this guy named Richard Condon. He was a believer that was on what I would call the concordance circuit. He went to all the conferences I was speaking at. I met him in 94 when I started speaking publicly. And he was there in 1996 in Fairview, North Carolina, Fairview, South Carolina, when I debated a man named, you may know this name, Clay Kent. Clay Kent. He was an elderly guy, more elderly than me. I was, 30-something? And he believed that everybody had a little free will, a little bit of free will. He was very imprecise that way, but he did not believe in the sovereignty of God. Did not. He believed in a little bit of free will. And I debated him. And the premise of the debate, this is a whole other topic, but it's entertaining. I'm going to give it to you. And instructive. The premise of the debate was a man can be independent of God. And he was actually going to argue that man can be independent of God. My head was exploding back then because I was a purist. I was naive in the fact that I thought everybody at these conferences believed in the sovereignty of God. Who doesn't? Man can be independent of God. Then I find out that this teacher, this epic teacher had a great reputation, Clay Kent, he believed it. What? I was like, what? See, I was like the kid. I was like the kid, just like, what the hell's going on here? How could this possibly be? So then Rick Farwell, who was running that church at the time, says, hey, Martin, Clay Kent, he's a southerner. Yeah, Clay Kent wants to debate somebody on the sovereignty of God, and you're the guy I thought of. Well, I'm the guy he thought of because I'm the only guy crazy enough to do it, to debate this epic master. So I debated him, and I think that tape was destroyed too. That tape was destroyed. I don't want to get into it now why it was, but of course, how can I lose? So, I put his argument under the ground. He probably thought he put mine under the ground. That doesn't matter. Years later, maybe 10 years later, Richard Condon, no, it was 96, 4 years later, Richard Condon comes up to me at a conference in Willard, Ohio, after I spoke, I think for the first time, on what is a believer. That free will, the belief in it, disqualifies one from being a believer. Because you're believing that you save yourself. You deliver yourself from sin rather than Christ died for sin, which is another element of Paul's gospel, which I will be getting to probably this week. So Condon comes up to me and he says, from what you're telling me, Clay Kent is not in the body of Christ. And I'm the umpire standing behind the plate. I don't care who's at bat. I don't care if it's Clay Kent. I don't care if it's Martin Luther. I don't care. I'm no respecter of persons. So Condon asks me, if what you're saying is true, that a belief in free will, a wholesale, heartfelt belief in that man can be independent of God, and it's up to man, the responsibility is man's to deliver himself from sin and death. You're telling me that because Clay can't believe that he's not in the body of Christ. And I said, that's correct. He's not in the body of Christ. And he says, boom, that's it. I don't believe anything you're telling me. Why? How could he say that? Because he was a respecter of persons. Clay Kent, he's been teaching for years. He's got like 1,000 audio tapes. He's been active ministry teaching the salvation of all for eons. And you, snot-nosed Martin Zander, you're telling me Clay Kent's not in the body of Christ. Just calling balls and strikes. It's a perfect pitch over the plate. God is operating all things in accord with his will. Jesus Christ died for sin. And the guy, Clay Kent, watched this perfect pitch go by, and he stood there. And he's swinging on the other side of the baseball park. Swinging at birds, swinging at popcorn, swinging at everything but the frickin' perfect pitch that God's in control of everything and that Jesus Christ saved us from sin. I said, no, Clay Kent's not in the body of Christ. And that would shock anybody. That would have shocked anybody back then who knew Clay Kent. It would have shocked them. But you see, I like to think I'm imitating God in this way. No, I'm not God. I hate to disappoint anyone. But at the Great White Throne, God is not a respecter of persons. When Billy Graham comes up to the Great White Throne, God will, you know. First, people ask, what's Billy Graham doing at the Great White Throne? He should have been in the so-called rapture. He should have been first at the table in the kingdom. When Jesus comes down to pour that wine with the 12 disciples. Why is Billy Graham here? See, people ask God, are you mean to tell me, God, that Billy Graham is not a believer? And God would say, nope. Well, then I'm trashing you, God. I'm trashing everything you say because
I just know in my heart that Billy Graham's a believer because he was on the cover of Time magazine. And he had so many giant stadium evangelizing events. I guess you would call them revivals. You can't tell me that Billy Graham a believer.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Nope, not a believer. Sorry about that you're so impressed by people. Sorry that you're so impressed by diplomas. Sorry that you're so impressed by how many stadiums Billy Graham filled in his lifetime, or that he was on the cover of Time magazine, or that he consorted with presidents. Sorry. Call the balls and strikes. It's the same as me telling you, fly by your instruments. Take the word of God as a measuring stick and measure it up against what people say. And there you go. You're able to do it. God has given us the understanding to do it. But we're afraid to do it because we are respecters of persons. We're afraid to do it. Because how can you say that this person, we hear the same thing with works. How can you say that this person who did so many good works, I remember my Aunt Helen, my dad's brother's wife. He used to say, well, we know she's going to be the first chair up in heaven because of all the good works she did, all the good works that she accomplished. So there's Aunt Helen at the Great White Throne. It's like, what? Because works don't save you. I don't care how nice and wonderful Aunt Helen was. Yeah, sure, her name's probably written in the Book of Life, and she'll go on to the New Earth because the judgment at the Great White Throne is based on acts and not faith. But nevertheless, sorry, Aunt Helen, you missed the thousand years. You're not in the body of Christ. You're not part of the Israel gospel. So I'm not a respecter of persons. Neither should you be. This is tough because you look like a real ass. It's tough being a guy like me who just calls him like I see him because you're, how can you say, I'm not a respecter of persons. I left you hanging on the Jerry Boschman story. Tomorrow we will rejoin the drama, Jerry and I, in a car, probably driven by Anita, on our way to the conference site. And the conversation that happened in that car and what happened a couple hours later at the conference, you won't want to miss.